these verses from verse number 10. And we're going to see a spiritual harmony and a spiritual symphony that Paul is calling for, God's symphony. And symphony means to sound together, by the way, to sound together. In the 10th chapter, or the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of Philippians, in the Amplified Bible, it reads, "For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person." We studied systematic theology. Theology means the study of God. And I hope in the 97 classes or so that I did that people become to know God more than they did before. The reason why we have so many different religions in the world today, I'm talking about religions. Religions means the act of binding back to God again, but money religions bind you away from God because they do not understand who God is. Paul the Apostle here says that I want to know Him more intimately than I ever did before. My whole purpose in life for the rest of my life is to know God and to my life to be in symphony with Him, recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may, in that same way, come to know the power, the outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may share His sufferings to be continually transformed in spirit into His likeness, even unto His death, and in that hope. That if possible, I may attain the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in this body, and in my body. Not that I have now attained this ideal, or am already made perfect, but I press on to lay hold and grasp of and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me His own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do. It is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to that which lies ahead. I press toward the mark, toward the goal, to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Verse number 15. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. Let our minds be in symphony. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you then. He will make it clear to you also. Verse number 16. Only let us hold true what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. Brethren, together follow my example and observe those who live after the pattern we have set for you. For there are many of whom I have often told you now and tell you even with tears, who walk, live as enemies of the cross of Christ and the Anointed One of God. They are doomed and their fate is eternal misery and perdition. Their God is in their stomach, their appetites, their sensuality, and the glory, and they glory in their shame, siding with earthly things and being of their party. But we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, and homeland, which is in heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior. Our Savior and Savior of the world. Who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humiliation to conform to be in symphony with and be like the body of His glory and majesty by exerting that power which enables Him even to subject everything unto Himself. To subject everything unto Himself. What a story, isn't it? Isn't that a glorious, glorious story? And we're part of it. We're part of that story. Now let's go back and read it in Greek and look at some of the words. Tu nonē, auton kai tein dinamen, tais anastasios. Auto kai kononion, pathematon, auton, sima mor fisomenos. Tu thanatu auto. Paul's personal desire was to get personal knowledge of Christ by experience, by living it. The deepest secrets of Paul's character, he's trying to unveil to us so that we can follow him likewise and to know him. And to know him here, that's our Savior, our God. And the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. We shall be resurrected one of these days. The power of that resurrection. Every people all over the world that are saved, that know Jesus Christ, will be resurrected in what we call that first resurrection. The resurrection and the rapture. God is able to find every element of your body or anyone's body that has been eaten by a shark, blown up in war. Audie Murphy was in Anzio Beach. And when he hit the beach there, he had a good friend that was out there, and he was sitting out there and trying to get himself ready to charge. They were going to try to take this hill. They were in Anzio months and months and months. But one of his friends that he'd listened to and been in Africa and all these other places, all of a sudden he heard a bang. And that person disappeared, vanished. He was blown to pieces. A bomb hit him and just blew him. There was no sign of him anywhere. Many people have been buried at sea, and the sea takes them, and the fish eat them, etc. People have been burned. It was a fearful thing when I went out here the other day and I saw for 2 days propane had been running in this house through a half-inch pipe almost unrestricted. And I thought how this house should have blown up and how that I should have been poisoned. I was poisoned pretty heavily. And I'm trying to recover from that. I've got to go tomorrow to a doctor to find out how much damage that's been done. But if we'd been blown to bits and pieces and they couldn't have found any part of us, God would have resurrected that. That's the power of the resurrection. Not only is the power of the resurrection, but when God comes to dwell in our hearts, God changes our minds and our hearts and our attitudes toward the world. And we ought to live a different way. Our lives ought to be in symphony with God's. He said, the power of the resurrection of Him and the fellowship, the koinonion of the sufferings of Him, taking part in and fellowshipping in the death of Him. Fellowshipping in Christ's death. Paul talks about this in 2 Timothy 3:12, Romans 9 and 3, and 10 and 1. Paul talks about the fellowship of the death of Christ. The world hate you in so many ways. The world hates you, especially the false religious world. I had one of our visitors the other day, and when I preached the truth, and I just preached it the way it is. He said, "Boy, you ought to wear a bulletproof vest wherever you go." He said, "You tell the truth, but boy, there's people out there that might want to kill you." Well, if I'm killed for Christ's sake, glory be it. That's all I can say. Jesus died for me as Polycarp. They were going to burn him at the stake. They ask him to recant his faith, and he says, "Jesus died for me. God gave his only son for me. How can I not die for him? How can I not die for him?" In verse number 11 now, apos kata nekteso, estain ex anastasison, tain ek nekron. And now here we have a little conditional particle, that word a there. Now, that word spelled like that is usually a first-class conditional particle, and it means a first-class conditional particle. The condition is determined as fulfilled, but it doesn't mean that here. And why it doesn't mean that here, if you look over apos, ka, tent, teso, that is first-person singular, first aorist, subjunctive active. In the subjunctive mode, the mode makes this a third-class conditional. Now, Paul says here, how that I may hopefully attain unto the resurrection, the standing up again. And this word here for resurrection is an unusual word. Anastasia is the resurrection in it. Anastasia, Anastasia, the Russian prince's name. But this means more than that. It means the resurrection, and it means out, to stand out from the resurrection. To jump out of the sea, to jump out of the bowels of the earth, and the dust of the earth. To stand out and again, out of the dead ones. Verse number 12. Uk hote ede. Elabon a ede. Teti le o mai dioko de a kai kata labo f ho kai kata le morthain hipo Christo esu. I'm still coughing from all that propane that went down in my lungs. Ook there. That's an adverb of negation. Page 294 in Analytical Lexicon. And then word hote there. That one is a little conjunction. And that means not in order that already. Now, that word hoti there, that's a conjunction. That's on page 294 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. And then eide is an adverb. It's an adverb of time and place. Not that already that I have received, or already, another adverb of time, and I have been perfected. I have matured to perfection. The idea that we want to live without sin in our lives, that is an object of our desire. Dioko there means I hunt down, or I follow after. Moreover, and then if. And this is another third-class conditional particle. It's spelled like a first class, but it's a third class. Undetermined what but prospect of termination. If indeed, that chi, that's a particle of affirmation there, kata labo, that I may hold on to and I may latch on to. And this again is in the subjunctive mode. It all depends on us, doesn't it? How we follow God, the Spirit of God in us, guiding us, but we can reject that guidance or we can follow Him. Upon which also, F there means that's a contraction from epi, page 153 and 54, which, relative pronoun, chi also, cumulative particle, page 208, then I was arrested, I was apprehended. Have you ever been apprehended? You know, being a very dark American Indian with very dark hair, two times I was arrested for being an illegal alien in my life. And I looked at those officers and I said, can't you tell by the way I'm talking that I'm not from south of the border? Just a little bit. Two times. Well, the Apostle Paul says, Jesus Christ arrested me. I was apprehended by Jesus Christ. Apprehended by Him. We have all been apprehended by Him, haven't we? Everybody nearly everybody in the hearing of these words. Apprehended by Jesus Christ. We've been apprehended. We've been apprehended by the Holy Spirit. Verse number 13 now. Adelphoi ego imaton u legosomai katelephene en de ta men hopiso epilambana tomenos tois de em prosten epikatein nomenos. Brothers, he said, brothers. What does brothers mean? Do you remember, Sharon? Brothers and sisters? From the same womb. We're from the same womb, the womb of God. Brothers, I myself, a little here, thou, this is a reflexive pronominal active, and that's accusative singular masculine. I myself not, I calculate for myself again. I don't reckon for myself. I don't calculate for myself. I don't reason myself to have gained control. To have gained control. What? Of his passions. Of his life. Of his desires. I haven't totally gained control of this yet. One thing though. Hende. Mover one thing. The things indeed behind me. Behind, hopiso, that means behind, and that's an adverb of place also. Yeah. Page 290. Epilambanthanos. Laying down and turning my back on for myself. Laying back and turning my back on, moreover, the things ahead, improstoin. Now that is an adverb of place from here on. It has the idea of place. Epikainomenos. And that word is stretching out toward the finish line, stretching forward. Now, Marilyn, Marilyn,
what?
Have you ever seen a race of greyhounds?
Yes.
Okay, and the race of greyhounds will have a greyhound running out there, and they'll have this a rabbit type thing running in front of the greyhounds, and that object is always moving, isn't it?
Yes.
And the greyhounds are moving faster and faster and faster, and the object is moving ahead of them. Mm-hmm. Paul the Apostle says here, the runner is leaning forward always, always, but the prize is moving ahead, moving ahead, moving ahead. He hasn't reached it, and he said, I haven't reached that prize, but I'm reaching forward, I'm leaning forward, I'm putting my whole strength in it. When a person is running at 10 or 5 or 10 miles an hour, 12 or however many miles an hour he can run, if you are leaning forward, when you're walking forward, you're falling forward. And that's what the idea here is. Paul said, I am falling forward toward the mark. Kata skopon dioko eisto brabeon teis ano ecclesios tu theou in Christu Jesu. According to. Now this is a little preposition of place also. And that's on page 213, Analytical Lexicon, scopon. We get our word scope from this word. Paul said, I want you to have tunnel vision. Some people have no peripheral vision at all. But he said, I want you to have tunnel vision. I want you to look straight ahead. I don't want you, when you go by, and looky-loo around. Down in the freeways and the roads and the cities, they people what they call rubbernecking. And what happens when they look around? They smash in the car ahead of them. I know a lot of people look around and smash into the car ahead of them. He said, according to the mark, the tunnel vision, keep your eyes on the goal. I run after. I pursue. Unto the prize. That word, ace, toe, bra, beyond. Ace there means extension, the limitation, the thought, or verbal action. Right here, it means to go up to the point, through and beyond. The prize. Now this word brabeon is used two times in the New Testament. The idea of it and the history of this word is an umpire. How many of you have ever seen an umpire? How many of you have ever seen an umpire in a baseball game or whatever? I think they even got them in football games, maybe. I don't know anything about football at all. I played baseball when I was young here in Fish Lake Valley. Our teacher was an ex-professional baseball player, and that's the only game we played with baseball, and I was happy of it. I didn't like the other games. An umpire is one who awards the prize. The umpire is one who decides and awards the prize. In America, I run for the prize of the high calling. The prize is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The goal continually moves forward, but we continually move forward. The goal moves forward, but we continually move forward. The prize of the high calling of God. we've had about 46 presidents in the United States. Some of them elected, and some of them got there by other means a few times in history. Now, these presidents, people in America think so many times that every child that is born in America has a chance to become president. Has a chance to become president. But that's not real important. You know that? That comes and goes. You have great effects upon the world and great effects upon the people in America. But the highest calling is not that of President of the United States or Senator or Representative or Governor or whatever. Lawyers call themselves Esquire. That's a royal term, you know. That's royalty. They think of themselves as royalty. The highest calling is the calling of God. And the attaining to the calling of God, that you accept that call of God and that you follow Him. That's the highest calling, the high calling of God. Verse number 15 now. Osoi un teleioi tuto phronomen kai a t eteros phronete kai tuto ho theos himen. Apocalypse. Progressive sanctification and progressive revelation. Progressive sanctification and progressive revelation in our lives. We are a symphony of God. We are one note in that symphony of God's great masterpiece. We are one note in it. Each and every one of us are a note in that great symphony. Hosoi. As many as, therefore, this word mature, this word it means to mature, and it's a word for perfection, but it's relative perfection. There's only one perfect one that ever lived, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto the maturity of this, let us mind and think together. Phronomen. Phronomen. Let us think together. First person plural. present subjunctive actor. May we do this. Let us. May we think together. And if anything different, you might think also this thing the God may uncover or reveal or disclose to you. Verse number 16 now. Plain eis ha ethasamen. To auto stoikoin. Stoikoin. Nevertheless, this little adverb there, page 328, that word plain. It's not a plane like sky, fly in the sky. This is the plane. This is nevertheless. Unto what we have arrived, or what we have run out of and upon. How this means the word to advance, to make progress. It means to outrun somebody. This is the guy and the leader in the crowd. It's ace ha ephathosomen. There's the word ace again, extension of limitation of thought or verbal action. That little preposition, page 119 there in your analytical Greek text lexicon. And I mean that takes up a lot of space too. If we have run and through and beyond to the same thing, may we behave. May we behave. Having come this far, let us continue on. Do not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes people look at the Christian life as a boring, droll thing. The Christian life should not be boring and droll, but exciting as we follow Christ, as we follow one more step. Paul says, I have set foot tracks for you to follow in. Jesus Christ left foot tracks for us to follow in. I've left foot tracks for you to follow him, he says. And then we have the word simemete. Mu geneste adelphoi kai skopete tus huoi or huto that is peripatontes kathos ekete topon himas. Fellow imitators. People alike. I remember over the years, presidents, people imitate them, don't they? I mean, they act like them, they imitate them. I remember when people act like Franklin Roosevelt, when they acted like Richard Nixon, when they acted like Eisenhower. Like many of them, people act like John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart. They'll imitate these people. And the better they are at it, the more applause and laughter and cheering they get. By the way, this word is only used one time in the New Testament. Simet mete. In imitating people. Imitators of me be ye, let you become. Let you become for yourself. Make you want to do this. Be an may you want to be an imitator of Paul. And brothers, and now it says here, scopete, it says, keep your eye on the goal. The ones walking about just as ye have this type in us. The word type there means to strike something. Means to strike something. The idea is to, you could take a piece of silver and you can strike it in a mint. And it becomes a coin that has two faces on it and even edges. The idea is walking and leaving foot tracks. Marilyn, you ever seen me track something?
What?
Have you ever seen me track something?
Yeah.
I tracked some chickens one time and found them in the dark, didn't I? The guy said, we don't know where these chickens are. And I said, well, where's the last time you see them? Right over there. I said, let's get the flashlight. I followed them. Those chicken tracks all the way to the chickens. He said, I never saw anybody do that. Nothing. You follow tracks. Paul said, follow my tracks. It's easy. I made tracks. Follow my prints, my footprints in the sand. When God created Eve from Adam, took her out of Adam, He looked at her, and in the Hebrew he says, my foot track, my footprint. My foot track, my footprint. May we follow the footpaths, the pathways of Paul and Jesus Christ. Verse number 18 now. Poloi gar peri patusen, hus palaikis, elegon himen named de kai klaon lego tus ekthrus tu staron tu Christu. For as many may walk about continually, of whom many I have keep on saying to them, that's elegon there, it's a first person singular imperfect indicative. Actually, I keep on saying to them, or to you all, now. Moreover, now I also weeping, I say. The word weeping there, that's klaon. That means I am begging you with tears in my heart. Have you ever come to the point in your life when you talk to your child and your child was breaking your heart and with tears in your eyes, you're scolding them to try to put them on the right track? Paul the Apostle says, you're my children and I'm scolding you. I'm giving you a spiritual spanking. But I love you and with great tears, I implore you. And I say the ones being active haters of the cross of Christ Jesus, the atheists, the agnostics, the Jews, the Epicureans. The Epicureans were antinomians. They were against all moral and legal laws altogether. This is what we might call libertarians. Not the Libertarian Party, but the libertarians, okay? 3:19. People used to call men and women of low moral character, they call them libertarians. People of low moral character were libertarians. 3:19 now. On to telos apalei on ha theos he kolia kai he doxa en te eiskene auton hoi ta epige phronontes. Of whom the end of their life and their existence is destruction. The end of the life and existence is destruction. Of whom the God, the belly, their God is their belly, their appetite. Their God is their belly. We have two people in the Bible. One of them was a scoundrel, but the other one was looked upon as a patriarch. The one scoundrel, the man that his God was his belly was Esau. And guess what? His father, his God was his belly. He wanted to bless the wrong man no matter what. And what he wanted was some good tasting venison. And he wanted that food. And he wanted to bless that son instead of God's choice. He wanted to bless Esau instead of Jacob. And he went about to do it too. Until his wife interceded. Sharon, did you hear that, Marilyn? A woman had to intercede in history to bring about the righteousness and the right man of God. Their God is their belly and the glory. They glory in the shame, in their own shame. They're earthlings. This is what Brother Bogard and some of these old timers used to call earthlings. The church is full of earthlings. The world is in the church. And there's a churchy world and a worldly church. A churchy world and a worldly church. Verse number 20 now. Himon gar to politioma en uranois hiparke ex hu kai soteria epidexometha kyrio esu Christu. Our daily living should show forth our real citizenship. Are we a colony of Christians in the world or are we a colony of devils? A worldly church and a churchy world. For of us the citizenship. The citizenship belonging in the heavenlies. Existing. Out of where also our Savior we wait and look forward to on tippy toes. You know, when I was poisoned just a few days ago with that propane, when I got out of bed in the morning, I was walking on tiptoes. I could not even straighten. My muscles had so tightened up, I could not put my feet down flat. But we should, looking on tiptoes with our necks out straight, looking for our Savior Jesus Christ each and every day of our lives. We need to remember the fragility of life. Mm-hmm. That life is fragile. Mm-hmm. And that our life is fragile. Yeah. That the only thing that lasts is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Looking to, with outstretched necks, looking to our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we got a long verse. The last verse in this chapter. Hos metaskematisin. To soma, tes tapenosios, himon, sima formon, to somati, tes doxas, auto, kata, tain, energion, tu dineste, auto, kai, hipotoxa, auto, ta panta. Who he shall change according to his schematic. He shall change according to his schematic, his blueprint. The word schematic is right in that word. The word blueprint is there. Meta schematese. Third person singular, future, indicative, active. That he shall change us according to and away from the body of our humiliation. Lowliness, low estate. We live in a low estate right now. I don't care. You know, you look out there in Hollywood and you got some of the most handsome men and beautiful women in the world. You know that? Handsome men and beautiful world. And when they open their mouths, they're from a different world sometimes. The body of our humiliation of us. And then it says here, taking part in, sema morphe, it means to form us. Have you ever seen the metamorphosis of a moth? Mm-hmm. Where it a caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly? Mm-hmm. It's a worm, and then it becomes a beautiful butterfly. And that's what it is here. This is what our word metamorphosis means here, sema morphe, to the body of the glory of Him. May we look forward to transforming our bodies into the body like Jesus Christ, our Savior. And energizing, the word energion, that word we get a word energy from, energizing, operating in us to be able to Him even to be subject and to stand under and obey as our military leader. All things in every way. The body of our humble humility, our humble estate, will be made suitable to associate with angels and spirits and God. Jesus Christ, by His great resurrecting power and His tremendous unlimited power, His omnipotence, will take us. He will take us and change us and make us suitable to fellowship with angels and spirits. I'm talking about good angels and good spirits, and He Himself also. God's going to change us one of these days and make us suitable for heaven. God is going to change us and make us suitable for heaven. Father, use this message for Your honor and glory, I pray. We send it out all over the world that it will glorify You and glorify Your power and encourage people to come to You ask forgiveness, and follow you with their lives. Father, please forgive.